Welcome to 45 Not Out, the podcast for sassy women aged 45 and over who are still serious about life, career and everything else really. There's no way they're ready to give up. It's great to have you here, and if you're a first time listener, you're especially welcome. And I hope you like what you hear and that it resonates with you. Now, we're now on episode 19, and in this episode, I'm talking to Rachel Peru. Rachel's a silver-haired curve model. She's also an influencer and an empowerer of women, all at the age of 51. Rachel got into modelling at the age of 46, can you believe, and hasn't looked back since. She's in demand with London agencies and top brands, and she also enjoys a loyal following on Instagram with almost 20,000 followers. And because of that, she's also one of Platinum Magazine's 50 over 50 influencers. So this amazing woman knows how to break into areas that traditionally don't have the representation of older women in their ranks. And I think you could say that Rachel's a disruptor, and we're all grateful for that. So it was a no-brainer for me to ask Rachel if she'd like to come and speak on the podcast, and after a bit of stalking on my part on Twitter, thank God for social media, Rachel kindly agreed to come and talk, and we had a great chat. Rachel spoke freely about her story and gave tips as well on how to be happy in your own skin and everyday life. But enough from me blarting on. Here's Rachel and her words of wisdom. Hi there. Welcome to episode 19 of the 45 Not Out podcast. And this time I'm talking to Rachel Peru. Now, Rachel's a silver-haired curve model. And I have to say, it's the first time I've had a model on the podcast. So very welcome, Rachel. Thank you for agreeing to take part and for giving up the time to speak to us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure to connect, Una.
You're very welcome, very welcome. Now, silver-haired curve model, and I hope you don't mind me saying you got into modelling at the age of 46.
That's right, I don't mind at all. I'm quite proud of that number.
How did that happen? Because that's the stuff of dreams, it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't on my agenda when I was younger. It's not one of my, you know, long-term aspirations at all. When I left school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do at all. So I did lots of retail jobs and kind of bumbled my way through life. And it wasn't until I kind of reached my 40s, and I actually got divorced at 40. So then I went on this whole kind of voyage of self-discovery and finding out actually what do I want to do in life, because things like that, when things like that happen to you, you know, they're monumental and they do make huge impact on, you know, moving forward in life. So I actually went back to university and did an education studies degree, thinking that I would do teaching because I'd been working in early years education, loved that. So I thought that was my kind of next career mapped out and I would be doing that until I retired. Things just never quite work out as they plan, do they? my eldest daughter became really quite ill with acute anxiety, which meant that she was homeschooled, which meant that I ended up having to leave work. So I was back at home again. And it was during that time that a friend of mine very kindly volunteered us both to model in a local Macmillan fashion show. And I'd not done anything like that before, said yes. And we did it, had several gin and tonics later, really enjoyed it. Although I was really nervous when I came off the stage, I just loved it and I couldn't wait to go again. And so I volunteered every year after that for quite a few years, for 6 years. And then during that time, my confidence was growing and the photographer took some great shots and said how photogenic I was. A couple of professional models that were involved in the event had said, you know, have you thought about doing it full time? And so I thought, well, actually, I was 46. My eldest daughter was back on track. And I just thought, actually, what have I got to lose? So I sent off my kind of really basic photographs to agencies across the country. But to be honest, I live near Leeds. And I thought if I got some local Leeds work at weekends, it would be a bit of a hobby. But I got picked to be represented by a London agency straight away. And that's it. It took me in a completely different direction to what I could have possibly imagined. But I love it.
Well, I was just going to say that, Rachel. I mean, I can tell from speaking to you, it does, it lights you up. You can see you really enjoy it. But when you do something you enjoy, obviously the generic thing itself, but usually it touches things around your life as well. I mean, you mentioned your daughters there. I mean, has sort of the confidence that you've probably built up because of doing the modelling, does that sort of emanate to others?
Yeah. Definitely. You know, I've got three children. So my eldest, Millie's 23. I've got a son who's 21 and my youngest is they're just coming up to 19. And so they've seen a massive change in me. And, you know, they comment about it a lot and say how different, what a different person I am now, you know, the last 10 years. I'm 51 now. And they've seen a huge shift in my confidence and what I've achieved in those last 10 years. And I think, you know, we have conversations about how you've got to keep an open mind and say yes to new opportunities. And yes, you might be scared, but you can't let that fear hold you back. And I love the fact that's part of their life, that they could see me doing that, because I really want to encourage them to approach their life like that. I wish I'd had the confidence I had now when I was younger.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that. But I think that's a generation thing, isn't it, Rachel? I mean, there was no way when we were your daughter's age, or maybe in our 20s, that somebody aged 46 would be considered glamorous enough to be modelling. You know, that's how society has changed. And I get that with your children. I mean, all right, you probably, your daughters and the other family that you have, they don't want to go into modelling, but they can see that you've made a 180 degree pivot.
Yeah,
and it's worked and it's brought something to your life. So that adage of say yes to everything, that's a good mantra to live by, isn't it? And hopefully that sort of, you know, sort of emanates out to your children and also anybody listening. You know, if there's anybody listening to this that and maybe, well, who hasn't pivoted during the last 12 months, we have to say, but if there's something there that's making itself very visible, and sort of calling you, come this way. Well, yeah, if you can, give it a go. And with that then, Rachel, you mentioned that, I won't say it was easy you getting into modelling, but things seem to fall into place. Is it true to say that the way society is now, I mean, you don't have to be a size 6 to 8. You don't, do you still have to be quite tall to be a model?
Yeah, I mean, there are still kind of modelling kind of requirements, I guess, in the industry. I'm very lucky because I'm with one of the UK's top curve model agencies. So I'm a size 14, 16. I'm just over 5 foot 7. So, you know, that was the right fit for me. There are lots of different niche model agencies out there that cater for all such shapes and sizes. But the traditional kind of, you do need to at least be 5'7", I guess, because the standard fit for clothes, I usually cater for that, but it is changing. They're becoming much more diverse and they're having to cater for a wide range of women. And because of that, then the range of models needed is going to change, but it's going to take a long time, I think, to get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you probably answered the question. I suppose really, if anybody wants to be a model reasonably, regardless of what shape or size they are, that they can get into modelling. Is that right?
I think you've got to have the right attitude. I think there's lots of key elements. I think, you know, I've been lucky. I think there was an element of luck and timing. I think you've got to be really confident in front of the camera and practice, you know, get in front of the camera and practice, and don't be scared of making a fool of yourself, because, you know, quite often I'll find myself in the middle of central London, you know, in a shooting for a campaign with people watching you. It can be quite intimidating if you're not ready for it. So, but I think if you're open to new opportunities, what have you got to lose? You know, I think it's that kind of, we're so scared of failure, aren't we? And we shouldn't be, because who knows where it might lead to. It might not work out, but it might take you in a completely different direction that you never thought of before.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned you've been in the centre of London. What's the wackiest shoot you've ever done?
That's not the wackiest one. I mean, I had my best one was going to the Bahamas, which was amazing, with American singer Lizzo and Ashley Graham. So for a week modelling swimwear at 47, that was quite wacky for me. That was my first kind of big break, really. And so I never imagined that I'd be modelling swimwear at 47. So that was probably my wackiest moment. But I have, you know, you get sent, you have no idea where you're going to be sent and what you're going to be doing. And you just have to go with the flow and kind of take a deep breath and just go with it, because they know what they're doing and we're just there to do a job.
Yeah. Just, I mean, with that, I mean, if you're working with Lizzo, I mean, can you name drop some of the people that you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, so I have worked with Lizzo, I've worked with Ashley Graham. I did a sports activewear campaign with Davina McCall. And she was lovely. She was really, really nice. Just exactly how you imagined her to be and how I hoped she would be. She was just lovely. So I've worked with a whole cross section of people, but they're probably the most famous ones that people will have heard of.
So if anybody listening to this is hoping to get into model, then be them over 45 or be them a bit younger, what sort of advice would you give them? What's the first step?
I would say take some really basic photos of yourself. Do not spend any money on having loads of portfolio pictures done because you just don't need it right at the beginning. All model agencies want to see when they're first looking for models is very basic Polaroid shots, headshots, full body, sideways, black jeans or blue jeans and a white t-shirt, really plain and simple. They're not expecting people to spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a portfolio shoot. So that's my first thing would be is please don't spend your money on it. And look around, do your research because there's so many different model agencies out there with different niche markets. And you know the website is a great platform to go and do your research and find out, you know, who does what. And then apply. What have you got to lose? You know, just go for it. And I also think I really connected with lots of local shops, local fashion boutiques at first to get me used to being in front of the camera and wearing clothes. So I would go into my local shop that I used to maybe buy clothes from and say, you know, can I do some Instagram pictures for you when I'll model your clothes and take some pictures and tag you in it? And it gets you used to what it would be like and getting yourself visible and setting yourself up to kind of see whether you actually enjoy it.
That's a great tip as well. Plus, as well, I mean, apart from you having the, as you say, the pictures and it'll build up any online following and all the rest of it. Because
Yeah.
am I right in thinking that model agencies probably do absolutely scour Twitter, Insta, Facebook?
Absolutely. Yeah, they all do. And they all probably now have, I think most of the big ones have kind of hashtags that you can add to your photos, and that's what they look for when they're scouting. You know, I think it's a brilliant way to be spotted. And they all do that now. And I think it's about being visible. You've got to, if you want to get into that industry, you've got to be brave and make yourself visible and go for it.
Yeah. Which takes me on to my next question about that, because you're not just a pretty face, Rachel. You set up a sideline. You help empower women, don't you? Set up as a woman empowerment coach. Have I got that correct?
Yeah, body confidence, midlife body confidence coaching. So because I do a lot of my work has been around swimwear and lingerie. And you know, that's that for me, it's my way of helping women in midlife see that, you know, we've got to embrace our bodies as we're changing. You know, I've got a curvy figure and I really target and work with leading brands internationally and nationally. And so I get asked so often from other women, how did you gain your confidence? What can I do to be more confident in my body? And so I thought, well, actually, I'd rather share some of that experience and put it to good use. So during lockdown, I did redo some training and I've set up a self-study program. And also I'm going to be launching a group coaching program in September. And I'll be helping some women that really have lost their confidence in midlife that need to kind of reconnect with their bodies because, you know, they are just vessels at the end of the day carrying us through life. And I want people to enjoy that rather than, you know, letting that hinder them because I know from my own experience how when you're not confident about your body, how difficult that can be.
I mean, has there ever been, did you have to learn that when you started modeling, Rachel, or are we, have you always been fairly confident about your own body?
I haven't been confident about my own body at all until I reached 40. I really struggled with body confidence. I was big boobed when I was younger. You know, to the point when I was 30, I went and booked to get a breast reduction because I thought that would be the answer to all my prayers. And luckily for me personally, I changed my mind at the last minute and didn't go ahead with it. But I really struggled to feel like I could fit in with my body. I felt out of sorts with it completely. So it wasn't until I started on this new journey in my 40s that my confidence has grown. Oh, actually, what I realized was it was about saying yes and keeping an open mind to stuff in life and enjoying and embracing life. And then the confidence came with that rather than just focusing on the body. It was almost like I forgot about the body bit because I was getting on and doing amazing things that I'd never done before. And so that's how it grew. And then obviously when I started modelling, I never imagined I would be modelling swimwear and lingerie. I thought it would be nice lifestyle beauty stuff. And so I had to embrace it. And yes, I have had huge wobbles about doing it when I started. It's scary. But now it's one of my favourite jobs. I love it. And I am much more confident in my body. Definitely.
Good. Great. So, I mean, it's probably a rare woman that's 100% happy with her body, or probably been through a bit of a awareness time, if you like you have, with having to sort of do it and sort of learning then to sort of enjoy it and embrace it and all the rest of it. But if somebody is particularly conscious of their body, what's the one tip that you could give them?
I would say start focusing on one thing that you like about your body. Just focus on that every day in the morning. You know, if you like your smile, make sure you smile as much as you can. Be conscious of it, really connect with that. And, you know, stick it on a post-it note and say you've got a great smile. Stick it on the fridge and start building a list of the things that you do like about it slowly in your own time. And then every day when you're ready, add another thing onto it so that your list of things you do like slowly starts to get bigger than the things that you don't like.
And then in time, that will outweigh the negative.
Yeah. It's about shifting that negative narrative that's so ingrained in us all from years and years and generations passed down of, you know, being hard about ourselves and our bodies. And it's starting to try and shift that. And it takes time and work, but it's definitely possible.
Great, great. Have you had any, well, I was going to say case studies, obviously you can't be indiscreet, but I mean, working with women now, have you seen shifts in some of the women that you're working with at the moment?
Yeah, and I get messages all the time now from women that say thank you so much, because, you know, from what I've learned from you and the work that you're doing also on my social media, that they have started to embrace their bodies and they're much kinder to themselves. And that's all I really want. I want to be able to, just even if I can impact one person, I think it's worth doing, because it's so debilitating when you're not in that good headspace. It has an impact on the rest of your life and everything that you do. So to hear those comments and to hear that feedback is amazing.
Yeah. And it's fantastic that you then take in that and sort of work and I suppose paying back, you know, to society in general, sort of doing the work, seeing the transformations, and then from that sort of then putting it back into society to those women that need the help.
Yeah, and I'm very much about practicing what I preach. You know, I don't always have, you know, nobody has amazing days every single day about their bodies. There's still, you know, days when I really struggle. But I think by sharing my experience and stories and then going on and seeing that I do, you know, these national campaigns in lingerie and I still have these wobbles, then that just helps reinforce that positive message to other women, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, just saying that, passing on that message to women then, Rachel, I mean, women over 45 and how we're viewed in society. What's your take on that?
I think it's got better recently, but I think there does feel like there's a real sense of community. I think social media has been brilliant. You know, you and I would never have met or found out about each other through, if it wasn't for social media. So I think there's a band of women out there that are actually saying, well, no, I don't relate to anything that the media and advertising put out, so I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to show you actually what 45, what 46, what 47 looks like. And I think that's exciting, because it's the women that are creating the change. But I think, you know, in terms of media and advertising, we've still got a long way to go. We are still invisible on the high street. We are still not catered for. But I think we're not putting up with that anymore, and I think we're starting to use our voice, and I think that's the exciting bit.
Yeah, it's just, you're right. I mean, if I can give a bit of a shout out to Twitter, I'm sorry, the other platforms, but it's just, I mean, you and I, as you say, you and I hooked up on Twitter. That's how I became aware of you and sort of hooked you in for the podcast. But yeah, it's, there is a bit of a shift there, but I can't say I've seen, well, Instagram as well, but I can't say I've seen much on the other platforms, but maybe it is that Twitter's leading the way. But added to which, Rachel, do you think it's a country thing? So I'll tell you why, because, and this, I'm sorry here, I'm listeners, I'm going off a bit of a tangent, but I've been watching a French program called My Agent on Netflix, and it's dealing with sort of the media, the movie world, and dealing with an agency that is very, produces sort of all the big French names like Juliette Binoche, Isabella Gianni, and all those. But this is what's crossed my thingy. In France, they are not frightened of bringing in the actresses that are over 50 and the actresses that they're using as well. Like one of the main parts, one of the excellent, funny main parts is a woman. She must be over 70. But I mean, would we get that in the UK? I don't know. I mean, your experience, would you say that's a Europe thing then, Rachel?
I think we are so lagging behind. I think, you know, we are behind, and we have got this kind of ageist attitude, particularly towards women, I think, in that kind of whole world and industry. I think, you know, we are so underrepresented. I think women that do get some of these bigger roles, you know, when they get over 50, really have to fight for it. So I think, I don't know what it's going to take to make those changes, because culturally you see, you know, like countries like Japan that absolutely kind of, you know, praise older women and really embrace them in society and see them as something to be really look up to and admired. And it seems to still have this stigma attached to it in the UK, which I think is a shame. But I do wonder what percentage of men are actually behind the top of the boards for these companies that maybe, you know, these industries, as to women, because I think that's going to be the key thing to making some changes if the percentage at the top changes.
Yeah, sure. As the millennials and the sort of the late 30s, early 40s come through, do you think that'll generate a change in attitude?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think it'll bring fresh blood into the industries, and I think they will relate. They can see what the consumers want. I think they'll be able to relate to those platforms and see what people are actually crying out for. And, you know, we see it all the time, don't we? When they do programs that include somebody that's older or a great role model, they get so much, you know, high praise for it and so much great social media kind of conversations, and, you know, the ratings go up. So surely that's got to be a sign that they're going to have to start listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, is there anybody sort of in France that you think, or not necessarily France, but in Europe or in the world that you think is probably leading the way? I mean, I was thinking of Monica Bellucci, if she was in one of the James Bonds, wasn't she? But I mean, is there anybody else in your sort of sphere that...
No, I might have to come back to that one, I think, whilst we're talking.
Sorry. I do apologise. That's the top of the head one. That wasn't on our agreed list of questions, was it, Rachel?
So that's all right. No, I shall. If I think of somebody, it'll come to me. I shall let you know.
Good. It just... So... Really, as I mean, just to sort of sum that bit up, there is a bit of a curve. It's changing a little bit, isn't it? But it's not absolutely there, and it's still got a long way to go, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But the fact that we're having this conversation now is pushing it in the right direction. And there's conversations going on like this daily across the world. So I think that will hopefully lead to change.
Yes, hopefully so. Hopefully so. So... if I could take you through to sort of, which is a bit of a signature of the podcast, and super cheesy question, but I always enjoy it when I speak to people and it does go down well. So if, say, when you first entered the world of work, whether that was 16, 18, 21 or whenever, number one, I bet you probably didn't think you'd be modelling at this age, and sort of, if you could look back over the trajectory that your career and life took, what's the one thing that you'd tell yourself now in hindsight?
I would say I wish I'd listened to my gut instinct when I was younger, and I hadn't listened to everybody else's opinions, and I'd stuck to what I knew that I really wanted and what I was passionate about. So I wish I'd tuned into my instincts.
Were your instincts telling you something other than what you actually did?
Yeah, absolutely. My instincts, I wanted to go to drama school, and even though my teachers really encouraged me to do that, because I did drama A-level, family and around me were very much for the, you know, the generation of go out and get a proper job and make it a career. And so I ended up going into kind of retail and hospitality, and it wasn't where my passion was, that was for sure. And then you start getting a mortgage and paying bills, and then it's not as easy to get out of. So I wish, looking back, I'd listen to those instincts. But on the flip side of that, this has all been part of my journey, and I'm kind of doing stuff like that now because I'm doing the presenting and the modelling and being creative. So it was obviously still in there, and I've just brought it out in a different way now.
Absolutely. And in a way, I suppose, being down the catwalk in front of a camera It's more or less come full circle.
It has. Yeah, it has. Yeah. And I love that. You know, and I've started doing some acting lessons. I just did an acting show reel for my agent a couple of weeks ago and had to learn lines. And so it is exciting. It's kind of unleashing that part of it that's been buried for a long time.
Fabulous. So we may see you on the big when they open. Well, they're open now, aren't they? But we may see you on the big screen yet.
Well, you know, they never say never to anything.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, thanks very much, Rachel. What a complete insight into the world of modelling. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time out to speak to us. And if there's anybody there who's interested in getting modelling, I'll put your website and your details on the programme notes. But are people okay to sort of get in touch?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go onto my Instagram page, Rachel Brew One, and just drop in my direct messages. And I always try and reply. So I'm more than happy to give people advice and put you in the right direction if I can.
Fabulous. Well, I'll stick all that on the programme notes and then people can pick it up from there. But from me, Rachel, nice to meet you over Twitter. And thank you for saying yes to when I stalked you to taking part in the podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
Bye.
So there you have it. Rachel speaking honestly and openly and freely giving tips about what she's learned along her journey. I hope you've been inspired by what you've heard and it struck a chord with you. I know it did me. I thank Rachel for her honesty and openness and for taking the time out to speak to me. If you'd like to find out more about her, I've included her website and details on the episode notes so you can contact her from there. But from me, it's usual thanks for taking the time out to listen and for sticking with me. Without you guys continuing to listen each episode, there wouldn't be a podcast, so I'm especially grateful. But before I get a bit too soppy, I'll leave it there. And I'll remind you that the next episode, episode 20, goodness, who knew, will be out in the middle of July. Until then, and whatever happens on the 21st of June, stay safe, well and strong. And I'll see you next month. Take care.